Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Because it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
Different Strokes Flashback. Bringing pop culture back from the yesteryears. Different Strokes.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Okay, we're going to flashback to a television program. See, as if I couldn't get corny enough last week with Babysitter's Club. You had to rip out dinosaurs.
This is not corny, Jade. This is clever thinking person sitcom, okay? Let me just make that clear.
Okay.
Because, okay, Dinosaurs, for those of you who haven't heard of it, it's this early 90s TV sitcom show, right? Mm-hmm. But when I was a kid in the 90s, when I was watching it, there were lots of references that I didn't get. You know, it really essentially was a thinking person's sitcom. You know, it talked about stuff like conservation and women's rights and challenging traditional family values. In a lot of ways, they were kind of like The Simpsons.
But they're rubber dinosaurs.
Yeah, but they're rubber dinosaurs with people inside.
So there were actually people inside.
There were. Okay, obviously some of the characters were too small to have people inside, like Baby Sinclair.
Yeah.
That one's definitely a puppet, yeah, from what I know. But it's you know, the Jim Henson, you know, kind of a show. So they would have access to all the best puppets you can imagine. Because obviously Jim Henson is known for that.
Could you imagine being the guy inside the Big Bird suit?
Big Bird suit.
You know, Big
Sesame
Bird.
Sesame Street.
It made me think of it.
Yeah. I mean,
so, but imagine
the,
like,
legs can't be real. Oh, the legs would have to be real.
Are you a professional person? So after they've played, you know, Mama Sinclair, can they go on to a career playing a puppet?
Maybe. Who knows? I mean, we don't really know who the actors are underneath the rubber dinosaur suits, do we?
Like, I get the voice thing. Like, I think, you know, voices, fair enough. You can go on to a different career.
Mm.
But the people in the suits, what are their careers?
I mean, you can't even accredit the eyebrow movements to your own
All you're doing is walking around.
Look, it's a legitimate career, and I'm sure they got paid very well to be in those dinosaur suits for like 4 years.
Well, I'd be interested to know whether they were actually the voices, but anyway, continue.
Because that's interesting too, because you never know.
Yeah.
The dinosaurs' mouths are moving, but are they, you know, are they coming from inside the suit?
Yeah.
But actually, it was one of those things I never thought to question as well. But look, let's just have a look at the family. For those of you who don't remember, I mean, there was the baby. Everyone knows the baby.
Yeah.
Baby
Not the mama.
Not the mama with the frying pan, you know. Yeah. And I think, well, the father is quite popular as well.
Oh, yeah.
The obese father dinosaur,
like
Earl
Homer
Sinclair.
Simpson.
Yeah, a little bit like Homer.
Yeah.
His job was to push over trees. I don't know if you remember that.
I do now.
His job was to push over trees, and he works for this major kind of conglomerate of a company called We Say So. So there's more of that kind of consumerist kind of a theme happening in the show.
Uh-huh.
We Say So. And I thought it was really interesting because in one episode, I remember Earl Sinclair actually switching bodies with a tree. just to see what it felt like to be a tree that was pushed over.
Do you think the actor had to get into the tree outfit?
No. Get in the dinosaur outfit, then get in the tree. Damn, you know, I'll be asking for a pay rise just for that episode alone because, you know, you're talking a whole different set of prosthetics there. But, I mean, Fran Sinclair, so that was the mum character and she was the stay-at-home mom who was meant to be, you know, the voice of reason. And in a lot of ways, I guess the dinosaur family was kind of like your traditional nuclear family,
mm-hmm.
except they had the grandma living in.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting for me because when I was a kid growing up in Malaysia and they used to show this on TV, in a lot of ways, it kind of mirrors our family structures in Asia because, you know, grandparents, they more often than not will live with their children and their grandchildren in the same house. So it was something that I guess for an Asian audience, we could relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
Although my grandma never sounded like a chain smoker. And she never really quite lived with us. So, but do you remember Robbie, the teenage
son? Yeah, the cool one with the spikes hair. And it was all floppy.
I know. Yeah, look, when I was a kid, I used to think he was like just the coolest, well, dinosaur dude. You know, he had that voice that's like, yeah, little bro.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow, you know, he seemed like a really cool kind of personable character.
Mm-hmm.
But there was this episode where he, and once again, there are underlying themes in his Jade.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if we'll get the reference here. And with a 12-year-old child in the studio with us now, mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I want to go into much detail.
Mm-hmm.
But there was this episode where he was kind of picked on, or there was a bit of a taboo when he started doing the mating dance by himself. And they were like, oh no, he's doing the mating dance now. He's off age and he's doing the mating dance by himself now. And there was all this taboo surrounding this so-called mating dance that you weren't meant to do by yourself. See, I remember that episode, right? But I didn't quite get what it was about.
Yeah.
And things like when he chooses to be vegetarian, or I should say become a herbivore.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, no, you can't be a herbivore. You know, our people, our types have always eaten meat. You know, you have to be a carnivore. And like, no, Dad, I want to challenge society. I want to challenge the way people think. You know, I can be a herbivore if I want to. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was quite interesting that there were themes of, you know, challenging, you know, dominant social beliefs and all that in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm not sure what I thought about the sister character. Do you remember much about her?
She wore earrings.
Yeah, she wore dangly earrings and she just seemed like a girly girl, I guess.
Yeah.
Loves her shopping and mm-hmm. loves her, you know, makeup and all that kind of stuff. So in a lot of ways, they were quite stereotypical. But the baby character, I think, would have to be my favourite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys have it here in Australia or was it?
Yes, we did. I don't remember watching the show very much, but I remember my little sister, who happens to be the same age as you, Dave, loved it.
Wow. But, I think it needs to make a return, really.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it on TV ages.
Where's the DVD box set?
Where are the reruns? I mean, God damn it, are they still having reruns of The Nanny on, like, some cable network?
Yes, I'm sure they do.
Yeah, like, that one we can give a rest because I swear I've seen The Nanny, like, top to bottom, start to finish, 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, bring back the dinosaurs. Dinosaurs TV show, man.
Welcome to Different Strokes Online. Log in to hear Jade and Dave's perspectives on online media.
The internet should not be used as a high-tech babysitter. We need to make sure that when our kids surf the web, they don't drown.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, months and months ago, I got this invitation to this thing called Foursquare.
Okay. Is that like a party or?
Well, I work in the land of interwebs, as you may have heard me say before.
Interwebs.
So I get quite a few, like, you know, people will often say, hey, check this out or whatever. So I got an invitation from another friend of mine who had sent me this thing and said, hey, I'm doing, you know, Foursquare. You know, those random things that they do, tell your friends or whatever.
Yeah, and then you forward to everyone your mail list.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I got this invitation and I went to the website of Foursquare. No, it's not the game you used to play in the playground. Though their logo Looks very Foursquare-ish.
Yeah, well, it's Foursquare. What can you do with that logo? You got to have some sort of square and
there,
four.
There is some pieces. Little kid looking like he's playing Foursquare. But anyway.
Nothing to do with the game, though.
But nothing to do with the game.
Okay.
So it's a website, but you can also have a phone app, right? Basically, it's location-based social networking. But when I went to sign in for it, I was like, this sounds really stalkerish. I don't know if I want people to know
where you are,
where I am.
Because the idea of it, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't come across Foursquare, is you can sync it with your Twitter.
You can sync it with your Twitter, and I think you can sync it with your Facebook as well.
Yeah. So what it would say is that I am at this location right now. And it will maybe have a map.
And to the point where you can even, like a friend of mine who was on Foursquare would put in his home address and everything. Like, really? You know, and that was going out, you know.
To the public, to everyone on the interwebs.
Yeah, because, you know, he had it synced up with his Twitter and everything. And I was like, but everyone would know where
you live.
Yeah, and so that concept kind of scared me. Now, I've been doing a bit of research. I didn't. Like, you know, I have a login or whatever, but I've never bothered to use it or anything.
You've
like
never
that.
Told anyone that you're having coffee at that corner.
Exactly.
No.
Which sounds a bit promotional, right?
It sounds strange, and it sounds like something Britney Spears' Twitter team might do.
Put in their app.
Oh, Britney might be at this corner having bacon and eggs right now.
Yeah.
Swarm of paparazzi. Yeah.
But basically, it's a lot more complicated than I thought it was. So basically, what you're supposed to do is you check in at venues.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like a hotel.
Yes. and then you're awarded points and sometimes badges. Now, there's a list of here that I've got of like well over 50 different badges. That
50
you can
different badges that are what, kind of like little Boy Scout badges?
Well,
or?
Okay. So there's stuff that you can get for, you know, using it quite a lot. So, you know, you've been to over 50 different locations.
So you're an intrepid explorer.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the first time you check in, you get your newbie badge. Oh. There's all this weird stuff, though, as well, like overshare. After checking in at 10-plus places in 12 hours... Brooklyn for life after 25 plus check-ins in Brooklyn. Obviously very American, centralized. Photogenic after finding three places with a photo booth.
Oh, okay.
So that's a bit more challenging.
It is. Well, do you want to earn these badges or are they more like a stigma? Because if mine came up and it just said, this person that's over-checking, you know, oversharing, then I'm like, oh, okay, well, maybe I'm kind of addicted to this and it's not such a good thing. Are these meant to be something you're striving to get?
Well, I think they are. I think they might be a status thing because there's all kinds of other stuff like don't stop believing after checking into three karaoke venues in 1 month. Who wouldn't want to brag about that?
No. So basically the idea is when you're at a location, you not tweet, but you Foursquare it.
Yeah, you Foursquare
it. You Foursquare it. You tell people where you are. And I think you can make recommendations as well. So if like one of your friends are logged in and they go past a place where you have been before, I think maybe like a pop-up will happen and your recommendations will show up.
Yes. And also there's so if you check into a venue more than anyone else on it, on a particular day, you can be crowned mayor of that venue.
Oh, look at that. Mayor of that venue.
But it's kind of an interesting... it's kind of like, you know, those games on Facebook? Like, you know, Mafia
games.
Wars and all of that?
Do you play those games?
I don't play any of them. I don't get the point.
Why would you...
It's a bit confusing. Why don't they just pull out their PlayStation and have a go that way?
Well, okay, well, let's put Sean on because he got excited about Mafia Wars.
Yeah.
Okay, Sean, tell us something. What is this Mafia Wars thing? Do you play?
No, not really.
Yeah, so you got really excited about Facebook games. Is that what you do? Do you play Facebook games?
Yeah, when no one's around.
No, okay. Mum better not be listening.
Aww.
But in essence, like, it's one of those things that I don't think will catch on Foursquare. I'm not sure if I really want to get into it.
Well, I was on the Foursquare website today, Dave, and what was quite interesting about it was that they were starting to promote that businesses should offer free deals and all kinds of stuff to people who are on Foursquare.
Oh.
That's why I found it quite weird. I'm at this cafe right now because that to me, it's like, you know, remember Diddy Approved?
Yep, the Diddy Approved apps, the little black book apps.
Yeah, exactly. Is this a... It's
a great promo tool.
It is. It sounds like maybe if they could get people to, you know, if you get free stuff. So basically they were saying... you know, use it as an opportunity to promote, you know, to get people to come into your store.
Yeah.
Then you could come, you know, say, oh, if you come in and you're a Foursquare user and you put us on Foursquare, you know, mention us on Foursquare or whatever, then you'll get a free coffee or whatever.
I like that. That, you see, that to me makes sense. Rather than just going, I'm having bacon and eggs at this place. I've talked about bacon and eggs twice now. What's it with me and bacon and eggs tonight?
I don't know.
I mentioned Brittany having bacon and eggs, and now I mentioned I'm having bacon and eggs.
I just think that Brittany having bacon and eggs is a good visual picture.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I just want bacon and eggs. Something I should Foursquare about. I am having bacon and eggs.
So, yeah, I don't know that it's going to catch on, but we'll see.
We'll see. I think if you use it for the right purpose, like for those promo purposes, it would really work. And it would work for people that are really men or women about town.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I get stuck on like, oh, where should I go for coffee? Or I need to go to a really cool bar, but I'm sick of going to the same place.
Yeah.
If I, let's say, have a friend that Foursquare's all these cool places he or she has been, that can be like a personal recommendation because, you know, there's tons of places you can go. But if your friend recommends it, you go, okay, well, I know someone who's been there and liked it. I'm more likely to try it out.
But and you can earn badges along the way.
Oh, Dave. Yeah. It's
They're virtual badges too. Like, you can totally pin them on your virtual body.
It's all about the badges.
You say that it's about pop artist with character.
Pop artist with character.
Forget what you've heard. I do listen to strummy la-la music, as I like to call it.
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. Dave, you're going to totally have to carry this entire segment because I have no idea about anything to do with Gabriella Tilmi.
You have heard of her though, haven't you?
I've heard of her, but I don't know that I would know any of her songs.
Yeah, you know she's Australian. You know she's that girl from Dandenong. She's 18. She's now big in the UK.
Sounds like Delta to me.
Okay, Jade. Reference lost. Okay, let's put it this way. Just for those of you out there that are a bit like Jade, have no idea about what Gabriella Tilmi does. Like I said, she's that girl from, well, she was originally from the Dandenong kind of area.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she's now living in the UK, and for her first album, she sweeped up a stack of arias. Stack of arias, and just when I thought no one here bought her album, she comes back with a stack of arias. She very famously worked with Xenomania, who was the producer behind Girls Aloud.
Oh, okay. So that's why you have to involved.
Yeah, that's why I feel like I kind of needed to get involved. But, you know, I've never really warmed to her music before.
Mm-hmm.
To be completely honest, with the first album, I thought it was great, but only because I felt like it sounded a lot like Girls Aloud's material.
Yeah.
Like old Girls Aloud. Like, it's not even new Girls Aloud that she's kind of taking off there. It's like 2-3 albums back, leftovers. And I'm like, oh, this is horrible. Why are they bringing this back out? Why are they giving it to her? But with this new album, she's completely changed her direction.
Okay.
She's 18. She wants you to know she's a woman now.
Oh, okay. Because when you are 18, you are a woman.
Okay, Jade, with that, with a little bit of sarcasm in that, tell me, when are you really a woman?
I don't know. I just got a thing about 18-year-olds telling us that they're women.
Okay, what is the acceptable age? Is it 21? Do you feel 21 is right? Or
I don't know. Like, don't you feel like it's a bit like, oh, I've had such a tough life. I'm 18. I know all about love and loss.
And I'm a woman now.
See, I'm getting old, Dave. I'm so cynical about everything.
Well, you're an older woman now. Is that what it feels like? It feels like that. Well,
yeah,
especially when young 18-year-old girls like Gabriella come on the scene and like, I'm a woman now.
Yeah.
I've got cleavage. But look, she's completely changed her sound. It's meant to be a bit more feminine, a bit sexier perhaps. She's gone for like a disco kind of 80s electro pop sound. Nothing we haven't heard before, though. If you're a fan of Kylie, even a fan of Rachel Stevens from S Club 7, you love that album, you're going to love this. It's the same idea, you know. She worked with some really great A-list producers, though. Xenomania, who, like I said, did Girls Aloud stuff. He did one or two songs in the album. Now, they did a song called On a Mission, which is her first single from the album, Jade.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. It sounds like one of those 80s TV theme show songs.
She's on a mission because she's a woman now. Well, is that what it is? Well, no one's going to stop her.
Yeah, well, have you heard this song before? Or no. You're just kind of guessing because that's essentially what it is.
It sounds very predictable, Dave.
It's a great song because it makes me think of like old 80s TV shows, although, yeah. You know, can't say I've watched that many, but it gives you that feeling, Jade, okay?
Yeah.
She also works with producers like Dallas Austin, who's done stuff for Sugar Babes and Khalees. And strangely enough, on one track on the album, she worked with Ian Masterson, who's done stuff for Danny Minogue and Jerry Halliwell.
Mm-hmm.
The song's called Super Hot, and it's camp as anything. It's as camp as Joy. I don't know. It's as camp as our rainbow banner. It kind of sounds a little bit like Donna Summer's I Feel Love. So that's that little disco feel coming through the album. But if I was honest with you, Jade, mm-hmm. when she started hyping the album and saying, oh, I've been listening to Donna Summer, I've been listening to the Bee Gees and Pat Benatar. You know, when you start name dropping artists like that as your inspiration, people tend to start getting really big expectations.
Yeah.
And when they hear this album, they don't hear Pat Benatar.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear Donna Summer very much.
Mm-hmm.
There's barely any reference to the Bee Gees except for Hearts Don't Lie, which is the next single,
mm-hmm.
and the falsettos. But on the whole, it just kind of almost flatlines this album. It's very kind of nice backgroundy music.
Yep.
But I have to say, though, Jade, it grows on you.
Okay.
It took a while, but it grew on me, and now I'm practically listening to track one to the end.
And you feel like you know all there is to know about being a woman?
Enough out of you. Let's have a listen to the new Gabriella Chilmi album. You're on Joy 94.9.
Gabriella Chilmi, 10, on a mission.
I'm a woman on a mission. That was Gabriella Chilmi's
I can
album.
Totally relate, Gabriella Chilmi.
Do you know what? Yeah, look, that album kind of grows on you. But like I said, it's not the camp disco album that you would expect given all the hype that her and her people have been putting into it before it came out.
Okay, so she was making it sound like it's camp.
Yeah, well, the impression I got anyway, when you start dropping names like the Bee Gees, I'll be listening to mm-hmm. Giorgio Moroder and not sure what the accent's about, but Donna Summer, you know, and it's, as you can hear on the album, Jade, it's kind of, it's effortlessly cool, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have some favourites on the album, and apart from On the Mission,
yep.
I do like Robots, which we'll play in a sec, and
yep.
that last song we just heard, Love Me Cause You Want To, which was co-written by Ellie Goulding, who's this she's this new it girl in British pop right now.
Okay. Yeah. She's a young woman too, on a mission.
I'm going to have to ban you, man. You are just bad. In any case, haters like you keep her album from reaching the top 10 because 10, which is the name of this album, actually debuted in Australia at number 17 this week and number 28 in the UK. So not really looking that good, is it?
Well, you know, none of my artists ever make the top 10, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah, well, I guess it is for her because they're kind of like, okay, well, this is like a new change in direction. It should be exciting, right? People should get on board. And the song is like top 10 in the UK. So you expect a bit more, but, you know, maybe with a bit more promo. I mean, I know she was in Australia only the last week or so. So mm-hmm. maybe as soon as she jets back to the UK.
Australians only like Beyonce and Black Eyed Peas.
That is not true. I find that Australians barely accept Beyonce, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah. I thought Beyonce had a hard time when she first came out. You know, as big as Crazy in Love was, it was never number one here. Only number two, Jade.
I love it when I get a pop lesson from you, Dave.
Like more like an ear bashing.
I always cop a lot of flack for remembering all of the X-Files episodes, but you've got like an entire back catalogue of like any ARIA chart from any year.
Oh, dear. Like put me on the Sound Museum with Petro. That's where I belong. You're listening to Joy 94.9. Coming up upon the hour, we have Sci-Fi and Scream. In the meantime, I'm just going to torture you a bit more, Jade.
Okay.
A bit more Gabriella.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. This is my favourite song on the album.
Sci-Fi.
Oh, yeah. It's called Robots,
yeah,
so there's a bit of a...
It's a reference.
It's a reference to what you like, Jade, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what we've got time for or tonight.
Yes, that's it.
It's over already.
Yeah, I know. And at the start of the show, you're like, oh, it's not 2 ages. Well, ages just went by, like 50 minutes, just like snap.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, it's been very fun having the two Limmies in.
I know. It's nice because the school holidays, you know, you gotta bring him in.
It's a special treat.
It is a special treat. So, Sean, have you had a good time?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. I thought you got a bit excited when we were talking about Dinosaurs, the TV show.
Have you learned a lot about radio, Sean?
Yes, I have.
You know, maybe one day he'll be on air. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
When you get too old, we'll just replace him with you.
Oh, this is not the Sugar Babes. We don't replace our members, okay?
It would be quite weird because it would just turn into a sports show.
Oh, yeah. It's just you and my little brother. Yeah. It's not different strokes. It'll be the same strokes.
If you want to catch up with us during the week, you can do so if you go to Facebook, which is if you search for Different Strokes on Facebook, become a fan of us there. Or if you go to joy.org.au/differentstrokes, we've got a blog and podcasts that you can check out.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.